Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
I want to go straight to Tunisia, where RT's Richard Downes is at the site of that horrific massacre, essentially, that we've been reading about so much and looking at and listening about over the weekend. Good morning to you, Richard. You might let us know where exactly you are and what class of the 24 hours you've had in terms of observations.
Yeah, I'm in an interesting place, Ryan. I'm actually just overlooking the hotel. It's called the Imperial Marhaba Hotel, which is where the site of the incident happened on Friday. And it's a massive complex. I don't know how many hundred rooms it has, but it has many hundred rooms. And I'm actually just looking into the swimming pool area. The beach is to my right there, and the hotel is to my left. And there's a kind of an outdoor swimming area, classic kind of resort territory, and a very nicely organized, nicely done one. And there are actually, surprising to me, surprising to you, surprising to the listeners, I'm sure, there are actually people putting out their towels 50 yards, 50 meters away from where the incident and where the massacre happened. It's kind of bizarre. There are 50 people who have stayed on in that hotel, the place where the 38 murders happened. They've decided to stay on for whatever reason, and they appear to be trying to get on with life more or less as normal. The little makeshift shrine over there to my right, with some deck chairs around it and flowers, and last night there were candles there. And basically, people are trying to get on with their holiday, it appears, despite the fact that all of this happened just literally metres away from them.
It's a very ghoulish thought, isn't it, that you'd want to put your towel out metres from the attack, or indeed stay in the hotel inches from where it all went on. What a peculiar thing to do.
Very peculiar. I find it peculiar, you find it peculiar, yeah. I'm sure the listeners find it peculiar that people would want to do it, but those people don't appear to have wanted to leave the complex, and the complex is very heavily guarded, as you can imagine, certainly at the front, so it's kind of difficult to talk to them. But at the same time, if you talk to the other people here, Irish and other, they say, look, if you walk away and if you hop on the plane and go back, well, doesn't that just prove that what this guy wanted to do and the murders that he committed and the kind of, you know, the publicity that he's generated, doesn't it show that he's won and he's kind of he succeeded in what he wanted to do, and we can't allow him to succeed? That's kind of the point of view of other people, and you know, there's a bit of merit in that, isn't there? You can see the thinking there, but at the same time, you're caught between the two kind of feelings, the ghoulishness, as you say, of people just getting on with their holidays and enjoying themselves in a place where 38 people were brutally and horrifically gunned down. And we know, of course, there were three Irish victims, and hearing all their stories in the last few days has also been pretty trying.
What happened? What do we know about the guy? There's talk that he came on a jet ski and off the sea and into with the parasol. I mean, can you give us a sort of a rough sketch of what actually happened?
My understanding is that I don't think he came off a jet ski or whatever. Oh. I think he wandered in with an umbrella. The beach is very open here, and all the area is very open. I mean, it's a normal kind of a resort kind of area. And the pictures I've seen, I think people on social media will have seen them as well, is a man walking along with a parasol. Then he takes out a gun from the parasol. Now, according to eyewitnesses and other people who saw it, it appears that he was smiling, that he was kind of looking incredibly relaxed. And then he started shooting all around him, and he specifically targeted Europeans. There were, of course, as there would be in many places, lots of Tunisians around, but he was looking specifically for Europeans, and he started to shoot. And we know the three Irish victims, and it appears 30 British victims, and the rest from different countries. And they were specifically targeted, and obviously there was great panic, horrific panic in this area. You can imagine a kind of a beach area with a terrace at the back and a little restaurant and what have you. And he was shooting and specifically attacking Europeans as they were, you know, they're on their holidays, they're lying out, they've no ID with them, they've nothing with them, they're terribly vulnerable. And then he starts moving along and obviously chasing people, and really horrific scenes of mutilation. Of course, there were many people injured as well. And then people in the hotel, we hear from lots of eyewitnesses that what happened was the hotel workers in all the complexes ran to the aid of people who were terrified and tried to bring them into the complex and try to hide people and assist them and bring them in. And there's a lot of praise for the Tunisians who were involved in that. They obviously did sterling work in that respect. And then as he nonchalantly, it appears from the pictures that we've seen, kind of casually walked back. Now, apparently he had hand grenades as well, and I think one of them was detonated. And as he was walking back, it appears that a number of people at a kind of builder's area or an area that was being rebuilt saw him walking down the lane. These are local Tunisians, and they started shouting at him, "You terrorist, you dog." And they threw material like tiles and bricks from the roof on top. And apparently it some of them hit him. And of course, he went into a he was injured, obviously, but he managed to get up and he started spraying his gun and shooting all around him. And that was when the police arrived soon after that. I mean, we're talking a couple of minutes. I don't think we're talking very long, or a few minutes anyway, when the police arrived. And then there was a gun battle, and then subsequently he was killed. But that's the kind of sequence of events. Pretty shocking, and particularly the kind of the casual nature of his demeanor and the fact that it appears, according to some reports, that he was laughing and possibly, you know, even making light of what he was doing. Pretty shocking.
He was 23 years old. His picture has become, you know, well known because they released a picture, ISIL or ISIS, whatever you're calling them on a given day, pictured a picture of him sandwiched between two Kalashnikovs. Was he an engineering student? I mean, and we saw footage of him breakdancing over the weekend, and he was,
man. Very peculiar. Yeah, very peculiar. A young man, you would imagine, with, you know, a future ahead of him. Obviously, a very intelligent kid. And obviously somebody who has kind of ability. I mean, we're not talking about somebody who's a kind of completely no-hoper and who obviously has nothing to live for and all the rest. He'd engaged in, I think it was a master's diploma in aviation engineering. Also, a very difficult area which would involve serious skills. You'd need to know what you're doing in that kind of a field, and something you'd, you know, take many years to study. But obviously somebody, it appears, with a future ahead of him. But unfortunately, for whatever reason and in whatever way, nobody's really sure at the moment, he took a turn and he was involved with ISIS. Nobody's really sure about this, I'm sorry to have to say. Ryan, we're all trying to figure out exactly how and why he did this. Reports say that the Tunisians believe he had accomplices. Now, not on the actual beach where he started his horrific, murderous rampage, but that he had accomplices. He couldn't have got to where he was without being kind of schooled, if you like, by the ISIS, by the Islamic State people. There are people who have analysed his Facebook pages and his social media say, look, something very strange is going on here. You know, he's praising, on the one hand, jihad and saying jihad is a fabulous thing and I will be, if jihad is evil, well then, you know, I will be a victim of its evil or whatever. And, you know, some of the strange things he's saying. And then he goes completely silent. Around the time of the last big attack here, about 3 months ago in Tunisia, when that museum was attacked, and I think 21 people were killed there. And there is some speculation. I suppose we should just make the point, it is just speculation, Ryan, that maybe if he was being nurtured or being kind of mentored, if you like, by ISIS people, they said, look, go quiet now, go into kind of attack mode and stop posting on social media. That's what people are kind of speculating. That's probably what was going on there. But his father and his mother are in custody here in Tunisia, and there is some talk that other people are being questioned about it. They did appear to retrieve a phone that he may have been connected with. They certainly got a laptop, and they're looking through that. And in these days of social media, when your imprint is everywhere, from your literally your physical location to what you're almost thinking first thing when you get up in the morning, that'll be a very important, they'll be very important tools in trying to figure out what this guy was up to and if he was involved with any particular people. It doesn't lessen, Ryan, the kind of the horror And the terrible grief that the families are feeling.
No, absolutely.
30 of them in Britain, 3 of them in Ireland.
You know, Lorna Carty, she was a mother of 2 from Robinstown in County Meath, a nurse in a private practice in Navan. And Larry, Martina Hayes, Larry was a CIE bus inspector. And they met together to dance over 3 decades together, and just the random nature of this is to some an indication of
shocking.
Where ISIL are going and ISIS is going in terms of saying that you are not safe anywhere, especially if you're Western. They're terrorists. The word is to terrorize, obviously. And somebody said to me yesterday, a very good point, which was the Cold War, which I nearly almost wish it was again, was about a game of chess. Whereas this is more like a game of pool. The balls could go anywhere and you don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's clearly their aim. Their aim is to, I mean, they want to take over a country like Tunisia. You know, they're outraged that the Tunisians themselves, who've been involved and at the very heart of the whole Arab Spring over the last 5 years, they're kind of outraged that the Tunisians rejected the radical Islam path, and they've gone a moderate path now. It's been a very rocky path for the poor Tunisians. You know, they've had a very difficult time, but they've all the way along they've chosen the most moderate and the most middle of the road path and the most open path, you'd have to say, for the Tunisians. And the Islamists don't like this. They like the chaos of Libya. They love the civil war of Syria. They want Sudan. They want Algeria. They want the chaos, because that gives them, for whatever reason, whatever weird way they think, it gives them their reason to live and their reason to kind of believe in the extremist stuff they believe. So if they can destroy Tunisia, if they can make life impossible for the Tunisians, destroy their tourist industry, their biggest single industry, well then, that's terrific from the Islamist point of view. It makes it very, very, very hard for the Tunisians to do this, because, of course, as tourists, and you know, when you're going on a holiday, you want to go and relax and you want to take it easy, like these people, like Martina Hayes, like Larry, like Lorna Carty. Mm-hmm. They went and they wanted a bit of relaxation after a, you know, tough old year, presumably, and particularly in the case of Lorna Carty and her husband, they'd had a very difficult time medically and the like. And you know, what a nicer thing to do than to come sit on the beach in a very interesting country with very nice people, you'd have to say, and relax. And then all of a sudden these guys come along and, you know, extinguish lives in such a brutal and horrific fashion. And their ideology is an ideology that in the West, you know, we find very hard to get our heads around, don't we?
Yeah, without question. We're still trying to do that this morning, to be honest with you. Richard, thank you for that. It's good to talk to you, and we may talk to you again depending on how events unfold. But take care, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Okay. To talk to you.
And you, Richard. Thanks so much. Richard Downs joining us from Sousse there in Tunisia, the scene of that awful massacre. And our thoughts, I have to say, with the Carty family, Lorna Carty's family, and Larry and Martina Hayes' family and friends, who, you know, this is meant to be the silly season. I wish it was, because between Berkeley and Tunisia have 2 very different stories, but that have resulted in the loss of innocent Irish lives. It's been a difficult and dark summer so far. So, as I say, our thoughts with all those families this Monday morning.